After healing a man unable to walk, Peter preaches to the people, describing how God's promises to Israel have been fulfilled in Jesus. Through the proclamation of Christ's death and resurrection, God is offering them forgiveness and restoration in Jesus' name. A reading from Acts. Peter addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm of the day is read responsively. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. You mortals, how long will you dishonor my glory? How long will you live illusions and seek after lies? Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. The Lord will hear me when I call. Tremble then and do not speak. Sins on your bed. Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when grain and wine abound. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me secure. God has loved us in order to make us children of God. Though we do not yet know the full details of our future existence, we trust that God will reveal it just as God revealed Jesus to take away our sins. A reading from 1 John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that they did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Receive the gospel.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go?
You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Kyle was talking about his parents. He said, "Once upon a time in their marriage, my dad did something really stupid. Mom chewed him out for it. He apologized and they made up. However, from time to time, his mom mentions what her husband had done. 'Honey,' the dad finally said one day, 'why do you keep bringing that up? I thought your policy was forgive and forget.' 'It is,' she said. 'I just don't want you to forget that I've forgiven and forgotten.'" So today we have an appearance by Jesus, and he talks about how important forgiveness of sins is. And this, if you were here last Sunday, this is such an amazing parallel to John's resurrection appearance. Kind of the same themes. The fact that the disciples can't understand how this person is actually flesh and blood. And Jesus' invitation to touch. Yes, a real human being. How is this possible, this resurrection thing? It says that the disciples were still disbelieving, but they're excited. It's like, could this really be true? This is too good to be true, the disciples are thinking. And then Jesus, like the other resurrection appearance in Luke, where he appears with the disciples on their way to Emmaus, and he tells them what this is about, how this all fits together, how this was God's plan. And I wish Jesus could stand here and tell us again, just like he told the disciples, how this fits together, how this is God's plan. There's still a lot of misunderstanding about the cross and resurrection. And people don't like to talk about it. People don't like to talk about sins either. You know, I've had so many people say, "Oh, I went to that church and all they talked about was sin. Sin, sin, sin." I don't know. I hope I'm not perceived that way, and I hope ELCA pastors are not perceived that way. But we don't ignore sin. A lot of churches need ignore sin. You know, it's like, let's not be negative, right? And I think most people, you know, think in terms of, well, I do pretty well. I'm not as bad a sinner as, you know, those folks over there, whoever they might be. But that this is the essence of Christianity, especially for the Gospel of Luke, that repentance and forgiveness be proclaimed. Jesus says, thus it is written, he's talking about the scriptures, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness be proclaimed to all nations in his name, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. So sin is pretty important, and repentance and forgiveness is very important. And a lot of churches just, you know, it's uncomfortable, so let's not talk about it. And then the trouble is that we get off, you know, it's like you get into a thing of morality, you know, it's like you can be beyond sin. We can be beyond sin. We can fulfill the demands of God. And what's that mean? Well, that means we don't need Jesus. We don't need the cross. Don't need the resurrection. You see the problem when we don't talk about sin? Or don't talk about the cross. There are so many churches that don't have a cross because it's a negative image. You know what I mean? It's negative. You know? And, you know, some people, kids have negative images. You know, they grew up with negative images. Let's not talk about the cross. But this is the centerpiece of Christianity, the cross and resurrection. I mean, if we just talk about doing well and trying not to sin and, you know, trying to obey Jesus and so forth, if we talk about that only, we forget of what Jesus did for us, the centerpiece of our faith. And besides, most religions have pretty much the same morality. C.S. Lewis once said that, you know, if you read all the moral codes of every religion, you would be bored to tears because they're all the same. What's the difference of Christianity? The difference is that God became human, and that God, in the form of Jesus, suffered death under a human tyrant. Suffered defeat and beat the whole thing of death. This is what is different about Christianity. To take away the cross and resurrection, to take away repentance and forgiveness, it takes away the center, the essence of Christianity, makes it pretty much like any other religion. Robert Capon, who is a famous New Testament author, said the church is really not about morals. He says the world is pretty good at morals. You know, you think about governments that punish, right, and make laws and stuff. What the world does not get right is the business of forgiveness. The church is about the business of forgiveness. Do you know in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, every time sin is mentioned, forgiveness is mentioned with it. Jesus says repentance and forgiveness is to be proclaimed. What really the translation should be is repentance leading to forgiveness. Repentance leading to forgiveness. In other words, it's no good just to have people repent unless forgiveness is offered too. It has to come too. I've seen a lot of memes lately from certain Christians, you know, saying America needs to repent. America needs to repent. And I agree with that. What America needs to repent about, I might disagree with, but there's nothing about forgiveness What they should be saying is America needs to repent so they can know the power of forgiveness. You always offer forgiveness when people repent. You never say repent without offering forgiveness. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Jesus talks about how somehow this is the fulfillment. This is God's plan. That the Messiah is to suffer. I imagine when he did his little lecture to the apostles at Emmaus, you know, he talked about the whole sweep of the Old Testament scriptures, how God's people were chosen. They were chosen, and they said, God says to them, you will be my people. You are my people. You are to be the light to the nations so that everybody can come into a relationship with God. And what happens? You know the whole sweep, the giving of the Ten Commandments. The people get into this orgy and worship the golden calf. Moses has to start again. What happens after that? Constantly, the people of Israel are worshiping other gods, practicing unrighteousness, injustice. And God lets them sometimes be taken into, you know, be conquered by the Philistines or other peoples. And the people cry out, God, save us. And God sends a judge. Finally, God sends kings. And it's just constant corruption. People never get it right. Sometimes kings don't get it right. Just a few kings in the history of Israel got it right. You know, David, Solomon, Hezekiah, Josiah. The rest of the kings were corrupt. They led the people to worship the wrong things. They didn't practice justice and righteousness. And finally, God gives up on them, lets them be taken into captivity. The last king gets taken into captivity to Babylon. And then Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, God says, I am doing a new thing. I will remember their sins no more. And Isaiah talks about the suffering servant. The suffering servant. The whole idea that there's the servant who must take on the sins of everyone and suffer unrighteously for the sins of everyone. Today in Acts, Peter talks about this to the Israelites. He says, you didn't know what you did, but you killed God's very presence. You killed Jesus, and now repent so that you may know the power of forgiveness. This is the good news, the cross. The cross is good news. It's not bad news, it's good news. Repentance isn't bad news, it's good news, because it leads to forgiveness. So we are always a repentant people. Repentance probably has kind of a bad vibe. You know, repentance in the Old Testament is basically making a U-turn. That is, apparently, we as humans, we have a tendency to go off in the wrong direction. We just need to turn around and come back. Come back to God. In the Greek language, repentance is a change of mind, right? Oh, you know what? I was doing it wrong. I need to reorient myself. That's repentance. And there's also a sense of repentance is that I can't do it myself. I can't do it myself. Help me, God. That is a repentance thing too. It's opening our hearts to the God who loves us, the God who went to the cross for us, and the God who conquered the power of sin and death for all time. Yes, folks, the cross had to happen. Yes, folks, the resurrection did happen. Yes, repentance does need to happen. Yes, forgiveness is assured. The author of the letter of John, the epistle of John, talks about how we are loved and we are to love each other, and how we are called children of God. In the waters of baptism, we are named children of God. And so we live this life of repentance, this life of grace, and we love our neighbors as God has loved us. This is our life of following Jesus. It's our stewardship. It's taking the gift that we have through the cross, the gift of forgiveness, and reflecting it out to others. That's what we're about. So Easter is a time of reflecting on this powerful thing that happened in the cross. Powerful thing that God does, and that forgiveness is promised to us. And eternal life is promised to us. And there's something else besides baptism that assures us of this. And that is the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, Holy Communion, where somehow a little piece of bread, perhaps a wafer, a little sip of wine becomes to us the assurance of our baptism, that we are indeed forgiven, and that we indeed are Christ's ambassadors to take this good news out to the world, to love our neighbor as ourself. So come and be nourished by this meal. Amen.